Okay, we'll read a verse from Bhagavad Gita. I had a kirtan because I thought maybe a lot of you had been sitting here for Maharaj's talk, and that went up till 5 o'clock. So I'll speak only briefly from Bhagavad Gita until Artik at 6 o'clock. And I'll just pick to speak from. And let's see if we can make it relevant. Excuse me? Yeah, I agree. That's what he was saying, oh no, about. He knows Vaishnava etiquette. Oh, okay. I'm going to read from Bhagavad Gita, chapter 6, text 32, about a perfect yogi. Atma upam yena savatra samam pashati yorjuna sukham va yadiva dukham sa yogi paramomata. Translation. He is a perfect yogi who, by comparison to his own self, sees the true equality of all beings in both their happiness and their distress, O Arjuna. Purport. One who is Krishna conscious is a perfect yogi. He is aware of everyone's happiness and distress by dint of his own personal experience. The cause of the distress of a living entity is forgetfulness of his relationship with God. And the cause of happiness is knowing Krishna to be the supreme enjoyer of all the activities of the human being, the proprietor of all lands and planets, and the sincerest friend of all living entities. The perfect yogi knows. There's an echo in this. Is this supposed to be an echo? The perfect yogi knows that the living being, who is conditioned by the modes of material nature, is subjected to the threefold material miseries due to forgetfulness of his relationship with Krishna. And because one in Krishna consciousness is happy, he tries to distribute the knowledge of Krishna everywhere. Since the perfect yogi tries to broadcast the importance of becoming Krishna conscious, he is the best philanthropist in the world, and he is the dearest servitor of the Lord. Nachatasman manusheshu kaschin me priyakritama. In other words, a devotee of the Lord always looks to the welfare of all living entities, and in this way he is factually the friend of everyone. He is the best yogi because he does not desire perfection in yoga for his personal benefit, but tries for others also. He does not envy his fellow living entities. Here is a contrast between a pure devotee of the Lord and a yogi interested only in his personal elevation. The yogi who is withdrawn to a secluded place in order to meditate perfectly may not be as perfect as a devotee who is trying his best to turn every man toward Krishna consciousness. Translation again. He is a perfect yogi who, by comparison to his own self, sees the true equality of all beings in both their happiness and their distress, O Arjuna. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Gananjana Salakaya Chakshur Unminitam Nena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Mukam Karoti Vachalam Pangam Langayate Ganim Yadkipa Tamaham Vande Shri Gunan Tinataranam Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Pristaya Bhutale Shimate Bhakti Vedanta Swamin Itinamane Namaste Sarasvate Devi Gauravani Pacharane Nivashesha Sanyavari Pastachyade Satarane Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Shivasadi Gauravaktarvinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare Hare Hari Rama, Rama Rama, Hari Hari. It's interesting, today I was just reading one verse from Srimad Bhagavatam. It was a prayer by Prahlad Maharaj. We know, or many of us may know, Prahlad Maharaj's compassion was that he would oftentimes express his desire to the Lord for the welfare of others and not concerned about his own personal welfare. And would oftentimes, even there are verses in the Bhagavatam describing his prayers, praying for the benefit of all living beings in the universe, praying for the benefit of his father, who was envious of his son Prahlad because of his connections with the Supreme Lord, and even tried to kill his own son. Yet Prahlad, because he was truly compassionate and freed from envy, was always thinking of the welfare of others. And there is one verse that I was reading this morning. It was a prayer of Prahlad. He was praying to Lord Nrsingadev. He says, may there be good fortune for all living entities throughout the whole universe. And may all envious persons become pacified. May all living entities become calm by practicing bhakti yoga. For by accepting devotional service to the Supreme Lord, they will be able to think of each other's welfare. Therefore, let us all engage in the service of the Supreme Transcendence, Lord Shri Krishna, and always be absorbed in thoughts of Him. This is his prayer. And Prahlad Maharaj was praying to Lord Nrsingadev when the Lord was wanting to give him some benediction. Under ordinary circumstances, we may think that such an opportunity to receive a benediction from the Lord himself, who's very much inclined to give it, would elicit some personal request, something that's, you know, that maybe will bring immediate happiness, gratification, a long-cherished fulfillment of a long-cherished desire. Everybody, I'm sure, holds or harbors within their hearts some long-cherished desire that they would ultimately like fulfilled in their life. Prahlad Maharaj was no such exception, but it was profound to hear his prayer, that when he was asked for the benediction, he was not concerned about anything for himself. His immediate response was, let there be good fortune through all the whole universe. May all envious persons become pacified, and may everybody become calm by accepting devotional service, because when they accept devotional service to the Supreme Lord, then they can genuinely think of each other's welfare. This is a real benediction, especially if we have animosity, the and conflict that exists in the world today, both individually and collectively. And, of course, sometimes conflict bonds people together under a common cause. And then they may feel closeness, friendship towards one another because of their common cause. And then when the common cause is achieved, then conflict begins to manifest in other ways amongst those who were previously their best friends, become enemies. And Prahlad Maharaj was trying in his prayer to express what he felt was how to actually go to the root of conflict and actually bring about a state of consciousness in everyone where they'd be able to think of everyone else's welfare and not be concerned about themselves. It's a pretty high expectation. Something that's, as Krishna explains in Bhagavad Gita, is not so common. In fact, it's rarely achieved. Krishna says, Samahatma Sadulaba. Such great souls are very rare who can fully embrace the teachings, the service of the Supreme Lord, and become internally so self-satisfied that they don't need anything. And therefore, when they actually get the opportunity to get anything they want, because by dint of their internal self-satisfaction, their happiness, because they've actually achieved a treasure in their life, which is to be so valuable, that which was establishing their relationship with the Supreme Lord and finding such a satisfaction in that in of itself that all other desires were fulfilled. And therefore, when the Lord personally comes before his devotee and says, let me give you something. Now you've purchased me by your love, your selflessness. You know, we oftentimes give that story, which actually really very nicely defines or expresses this mood between the Lord and his devotee. How the Lord describes in his connection with Maharaj Ambarish, who was a great devotee of the Lord. And Maharaj Ambarish was described as a pure devotee who was fully self-satisfied in engaging his mind, his words, his senses, his limbs of his body, everything he had. His only interest was to utilize them for pleasing the Lord. And the Lord described to Durvasa Muni the power of such selfless love is that the devotee, he says, takes the Lord within to his heart and he serves him within his heart, always thinking of what is pleasing to him and never thinking of anything for himself. So much so that the Lord becomes purchased by that love. And then says to his devotee, you're doing so much to please me, to satisfy me. Let me give you something in return. And the devotee says, I don't want. I don't need. I have everything I need as long as I can serve you. What else do I need? Is there any other requirement for life? We may think that, there's many other requirements for life. We need shelter, clothing, happiness, camaraderie, companionship. Certainly, every living being needs some something to complement himself to make himself feel more complete. Or someone to complement himself to make himself feel more complete. But a devotee is somebody who has, the only desire is, what makes me feel complete is when I have something I can do to please you. Please give me service. So the Lord says, yes, but you have service. Let me give you something else. Let me give you a kingdom. I can make you wealthy, powerful. Writes here, describes, the Lord is the supreme proprietor of all the planets and universes. He is the benefactor of all living beings. One who knows these things knows can become happy. So the Lord, he's the proprietor of the entire material and spiritual worlds. He can give anything. And the devotee says, but none of these things will make me happy. Why should I ask you for these things? The only thing that makes me happy is the opportunity to serve. That's my happiness. And then Krishna says, well, I'm going to have to give you something, even though you don't ask for it. But what can the Lord give that's of any value to his devotee? Not wealth. His devotee, Narayanak Paraksave Na Kutashtanya Bibhati. This verse was spoken by Lord Shiva. Narayanak Paraksave Na Kutashtanya Bibhati. Svaga Pavarga Narakeshvati Tuyata Darshana. Svaga Pavarga. He says, my devotee, the devotee is satisfied in any condition of life, whether he's in heaven, whether he's in hell, whether he's liberated. That's all the same. Why? Because wherever he is, service. I have service. I can serve in hell. Why can't I serve in hell? There are many living entities in hell who are suffering. Let me go there and try to drag them out. Why are you staying in this hellish condition of life? Prahlad Maharaj said that. Prahlad Maharaj said, Matirna Krishna Paratak Svatopami Topi Padyeta Griha Vartahanam Adanta Gobiya Vishitam Tamiksham Punak Punas Chavarta Chavarnanam. He says, because of their uncontrolled senses, persons who are addicted towards materialistic way of life, they make progress towards hellish conditions of life and repeatedly chew that which has already been chewed. Their inclinations towards Krishna are never aroused either by their own efforts, by the efforts of others, or by a combination of both. Prahlad Maharaj said, this is the nature of punak punas javata javananam. Just simply, they've chewed it before. And they think, actually, I had this experience. I mean, it's terrible, but there was a classmate I remember in the seventh grade. He always used to save his gum and put it under the desk for the next day. I won't say his name. Who knows, he may be here tonight. But I used to watch and marvel. He'd go back the next day, the same gum. And Prahlad Maharaj uses they've already chewed it. It's no taste anymore. But still they think, let me get some taste. And he would put it on his tongue and wet it and put it in his mouth again. Chewing the chewed. Well, as Prabhupada, we used to say, old wine in a new bottle. Yeah. Right? We've done everything. We've tried so much in this life, and then we come back and get another life. We try to do the same thing in another body and think, this body is a better facility. I'll be happier. Chewing the chewed. So a devotee, he's ready to go to hell. Because persons who are inclined towards sense gratification, they make progress towards hellish conditions of life and chew that which is already chewed. So Prahlad Maharaj says, or no, Lord Shiva says, Narayanak Paraksave Nakutashtanya Bhivati. Whether heaven, hell, liberated, that's all the same. Why? Because a devotee's greatest treasure, greatest possession, his greatest wealth, is the opportunity to serve. He considers that his greatest wealth. And because that is the devotee's greatest wealth, the Lord feels so dear to such a devotee. In fact, the Bhagavatam states that the Supreme Lord is very dear to those devotees who have no material possessions, but who are fully satisfied in possessing only devotional service to the Supreme Lord. The Lord relishes the activities of such devotees. The Lord derives His pleasure by observing the activities of these devotees who are selflessly engaged in service to Him. Why? Because that satisfaction is so satisfying. The devotee doesn't need anything else. That's Arjuna asked Krishna the question, what is a symptom of a man who is in transcendental consciousness? How does he walk? How does he behave? How does he act? He said, when a man gives up all desires for sense satisfaction, which arises from the senses alone, he finds full satisfaction in the self, and then he is considered to be in transcendental consciousness. He finds his satisfaction in the self. Doesn't look for it. So therefore, Krishna says, I want to give you something. And the devotee says, let me serve you. So Krishna says, okay, I'm going to give you something that's the greatest treasure in my treasure house. What can I give to the devotee that's his greatest, can the Lord give to his devotee, which is his greatest treasure in his treasure house? He gives his heart. Gives himself. Yeah. Not only himself, but he gives his heart. Everything. So he says, you have me. He told Haridas Thakur. He said, Haridas. He said, you have purchased me by your love. Now you can sell me wherever you want. Isn't it a fact? If you're going to sell something, you better have the papers to own it. Right? If you go out to somebody on the street and say, how much you give me for this Mercedes? No, what fool is going to give you anything for it, you know, if you don't have the papers? Ownership papers. So Krishna says to Haridas, he says to many of his devotees, he says, you've purchased me by your love. And because you've purchased me, you can sell me wherever you want. What does he mean by sell? It means he can give Krishna to others. He, by satisfaction of himself, by realization of what is the greatest value, the most satisfying experience in life is service to Krishna. He who has purchased that by his devotion can share it with others. Why? Because Krishna agrees to go. Krishna says, Naham tishtami vaikunte yogi nam hridyeshu va tatra tishtami narada yatra gayanti madbhakta. He says, Narada, I'm not in the Vaikuntha planets. I'm not in the hearts of yogis. Everyone thinks, of course, Krishna's in the Vaikuntha planets. What is he saying? Not in the Vaikuntha planets. He says, but I'm not in the Vaikuntha planets. Nor am I in the hearts of yogis. If you want me, as I am, wherever my devotees are chanting my glories, that's where you'll find me. I go there. If you want me, wherever my devotees are selflessly chanting my glories, glorify me, not for any position, fame, wealth, power, you know, prestige. Devotees, these things are paltry. What can they do to satisfy the hankering heart? Some flickering pleasure that's immediately gone in a moment. Respect one day, they'll spit on you the next. Unfortunately, that's the nature of the material world. When people are so dissatisfied because they haven't found the key to unlock the mystery of how to be satisfied. And when everybody thinks, yes, let me be satisfied by climbing the ladder and stepping on everybody I could possibly step on to get there. Let me get the greatest pleasure, and if it brings suffering to others, sorry. But that's the only way to make it in this world, right? Dog eat dog. Competition. But a Vaishnava, he understands that, wait a minute, there's something else. There is another source of satisfaction which can't be found in wealth, strength, power, beauty. Those who are materially exhausted, those on the path of material progress, trying to improve themselves by respectable parentage, great opulence, bodily beauty, they can't approach you with sincere feeling. They can't helplessly call out, "Oh Krishna, I want you." Because they're on their path. They're thinking, no, there's so many other important things. I want you to give me this. But that's... So, many persons actually went that route. But fortunately, Krishna is so kind that sometimes he'll give it in such a way that the devotee won't ask for it again. That's his kindness. He's so kind. He knows how to give. He knows how to fulfill. He say, okay, he's chanting Hare Krishna. He's serving me. He's trying to please me. He still has something there in his heart. So he says, okay, I'll give you, but you're going to find out the hard way. There's just more happiness than getting what you want. So Krishna's very kind. He says, okay, you have it. And then after some time, the devotee will, boy, why did I?
Don't want it.
Why? I wanted this. I wanted that, but I didn't want all this that came with it. Well, I didn't include that in the package. Krishna knows. It's okay, you can have. But those who want me, I award you accordingly. You want elevation to heavenly plane? Okay, you can have. You want liberation matter? Okay, you have. You want me? Okay. Then you have to say it. That's what you want. Only me. Only me means who I am. I am who I am. It just so happens I'm the Supreme Lord. And anyone who knows this, aham savasya prabhavamataksavam pravartate iti matva bhajate man buddha bhava samanvita. I'm the source of the material and spiritual worlds. Everything that emanates from me. And the wise who know this perfectly, they'll engage in my devotional service and give me all of their hearts. Not part-time. They'll give me all of it. And Krishna says, okay, because you'll give me all of it, I'll give you all of mine. You have it. You can sell me as you like. You could put me everywhere, anywhere you want to go. So much so that when the Lord said this to Durvasa Muni, Durvasa Muni was saying, Durvasa Muni came to the Supreme Lord and said, look, you invoked a Sudarshan Chakra to punish me. I'm suffering. Have a heart. And what did Lord Vishnu said? I'm sorry, I don't have a heart. What do you mean you don't have a heart? I don't have a heart. I don't have a mind. What do you mean you don't have a mind? Maharaj Ambarish purchased it. You got to go him. He has my heart. You want my heart? You want my compassion? You want my forgiveness? He's got it all right there. He took it all with his love. I gave him my heart. So Durvasa Muni learned his lesson that when the Lord says, he said, I'm always in the hearts of my devotees. The devotees are always in my heart. The devotees don't know anyone but me, and I don't know anyone but them. He means what he says. We can test them. We can test them and see for ourselves. And, of course, the wonderful outcome is A devotee actually sees the great value of devotional service. It is such a rare, precious, valuable jewel. The opportunity simply to render some service which can ultimately satisfy the Lord is the most precious gift of life. And if we want to appreciate that gift, we should learn how to see that gift when it is being offered to us. Otherwise, we may mistake it for something else. Just like Dhruva Maharaj said, I came looking for a piece of broken glass. He came to the Lord looking for a kingdom. He said, I came here looking for a piece of broken glass, but now that you've come, I found the most valuable jewel. I don't want any kingdom. Why would I be a fool to ask for such a thing after seeing you? This is the Lord. He can fulfill all desires much better than we can ourselves or anyone else can. He knows how to fulfill the desires of his devotees. He knows how to make his devotees happy. We simply have to try to please him. And therefore, as Prabhupada concludes this, and I have to conclude it because it's 6 o'clock, Prabhupada concludes by saying, the perfect yogi, the best yogi, is not necessarily the person who only thinks of his own liberation. He says, the yogi who is withdrawn to a secluded place in order to meditate perfectly may not be as perfect as a devotee who is trying his best to turn every man towards Krishna consciousness. Simply trying our best, because that is very pleasing to the Lord, because that is the solution for awakening happiness in the heart of the conditioned soul. Nothing else can fully satisfy the hankering heart, only temporary gratification. Chapala sukha comes and goes. Sitayatapa bhatta varishna itiki achi parititire. No, excuse me. Sitayatapa bhatta varishna. No. Chapala sukha lava lagire. Yes. Chapala sukha lava lagire. Govindadas prays. He says, I've served many wicked, miserly men for some flickering chapala sukha. Simply for some flickering pleasure in this world. Therefore, he says, Edana jovana putra parijna iteki echi parititire. Kamala dala jala jivana talamala bajahun hari parinitire. Wealth, sons, wife, youth, family. What is there in it? Just as a drop appears on a lotus leaf, such is this life. At lunch, therefore, let me take up the worship of Sri Hari, which is the only necessity of life. A devotee who realizes this by dint of his own realization, as the verse says, he is a perfect yogi who, by comparison to his own self, he sees the true equality of all beings in both their happiness and their distress. Oh, Arjuna. It's time for our take. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.